The book of Colossians. We begin a new study today, and a study that I hope reflects our outlook for the whole upcoming year, the study of more. More is always better, right? Amen. I tell you what, the way I've been eating this Christmas and Thanksgiving, you'd think more is better because I have consumed enough for quite a few people. Now, after the first of the year, more exercise is going to be appropriate. But you know, there's a place that we can all use more. We can use more of God. That's what I want to talk to you about today, introduce to you. If you would stand with me as we read from the Word of God. We're going to talk about more. Book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also has declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I pray now, Lord, You'll open Your Word to us, that You will give us understanding, insight, that we may know You better, that we may glorify You by the lives that we live. I pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this book of Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul. And he says he's writing it to the saints and the faithful brethren who are at Colossae. And first thing I want you to point out, or want to point out to you, in this book, if you've ever read through it, and if you haven't, I'd encourage you this week, read through the book. This is a book that is for a people who are steadfast in their allegiance to God. These are a people who know what they believe and who are holding on to what they believe. This book of Colossians is not a book for those who want to dabble in religion. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's not a book that for people that are satisfied or want to half-heart their relationship with God. This is a letter to a people who needed more. And I dare say even wanted more in their relationship with God. They wanted to take their relationship, or Paul is encouraging them to take their relationship to the next level. What is your goal for the new year? I bet everybody's got one. You know, some may have a goal of retirement this year. Some may have a goal, a financial goal. But do you have a spiritual goal? First thing, I want to challenge you. Let's not be satisfied where we are. Amen? I mean, it's not that I'm not pointing a finger and saying you're inadequate. I'm not. But, you know, I've come to the conclusion that in our walk with God, if we're satisfied where we are, we won't grow. Instead, we'll back up. And so today we start with this idea, this concept of more in our relationship to Jesus Christ. And we start
with the strength of the church at Colossae. They were a church of, well, Paul compliments their faith in Christ. As I said before, they were a people who had complete confidence that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They believed that He was the Son of God, that He was their Savior, that He was the only way to salvation. And Paul's saying, good job! How many of you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? How many of you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? How many of you believe He's the only way to heaven? Amen. So you're in a great position. Right? Not only did they have this faith in Christ Jesus, but they also had a love for the brethren. Paul said in verse 4 that he had heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for all the saints. Let me ask you, do you love the brethren? Okay, maybe you need to work on that a little bit. Don't you love your church, your fellow church members at Victory? Amen. Amen. Even those who are hard to love. You love those too? Come on, give me an amen. See, I'm pointing out goals to you for the next year. Maybe you need to learn to love those who are hard to love. This church at Colossae was a faithful church. They were a church of love and fellowship with the brethren. And you back up and my question would be, how did they get there? How did they have such faith? How did they have such love? And Paul answers that question in verse 5 when he says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. I find it interesting that Paul uses the three spiritual gifts to describe this church at Colossae. The spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 13that he mentions there. But I want to concentrate for just a moment on the hope. You want faith? You want love? You're going to have hope. Now, when I say hope, I want you to understand, that's not just, I hope something happens. That is an expectation. That is knowing that there are better things laid up for you that is in heaven. The idea of hope, as it's used in this context, is the things on which your expectations are centered. Okay? As a matter of fact, that's a literal meaning there of the use of that word. Put it in our language, your focus. If you're going to have faith, if you're going to love, you're going to have a focus on things that are not in this world. Okay? Our hope, our expectation is a powerful motivation for us to grow in our faith, in our love. Why? Because we know that this life is not all there is. Aren't you glad to know that when you die, it's not over? It just begins if you're a child of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that there are better things than this life. I like Paul's words of Philippians chapter 3 verse 14 where he said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see this apostle, this guy that had a drive about him that absolutely would not quit. How do you get that? It's all a matter of focus. Do you know why Christians quit? You know, we all know people today who have dropped out of church. Do you know why they've dropped out of church? Because they've lost their focus. Okay? They get to focusing on people. And it always amazes me because people seem to be so surprised when they get involved in church and somebody hurts their feelings and it's as though their whole world, their spiritual world, comes crumbling down. Listen, do you know who are involved in churches? People. You know what that means? That means somebody's going to say something that doesn't set well with you sooner or later. Oh, listen, beloved. You can't put your focus on people. You have to focus upon your Savior and what your Savior has prepared. You know, how could Paul get stoned? and love people enough that he get up and he starts preaching again. I mean, you got to love people for that, right? Listen, if I'm stoned somewhere, you know, I pray I would have that kind of desire and drive. But Paul was stoned, and next thing he did, he's preaching again. He was cast into prison. He was beaten and thrown into prison. The next day when they let him out, guess what he did? He preached. How do you have such a drive, such a desire? Beloved, you look at the things that are ahead, not the things that are behind. You see, sometimes I think we hang on too tightly and focus too much on what's wrong in our world and in our spiritual life. Yeah. We look at people and say, well, I hear this all the time. Well, church is filled with hypocrites. You're kidding me. You know what? You don't focus on the hypocrites. Well, the church, you know, the church doesn't care like it's supposed to. Well, guess what? We're all human and we all fall short. Don't look at the shortfalls. Look at the Savior. I mean, you think about what Jesus Christ has laid in store for you. Beloved, this life is not all there is. There is more. I love the, in Revelation, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1, Paul wrote, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do you know that? How bad is your life here? If you're a believer, I promise you this, it's going to get better. If you're a child of God, you have a place prepared for you in the heavens that will never fade away. And when you leave here, that's where you get to go. Glory. There's more than just this life. Sometimes I think we hold on to this world too tightly. God has given us a natural desire to live as long as we can. But beloved, we got to keep the focus and press toward the mark also, knowing that when this life is through, better things await us. Revelation, one of my favorite verses, and I guess they're all favorite verses, so I apologize for saying that. But in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, we have a description of that final heaven. He said, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Can you imagine literally being in the presence of God and knowing it? I mean, God dwells within us here on this earth now. But I want to tell you something. One of these days, you're going to be face to face with God. You're going to be in his literal presence. And we go on. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Let's stop right there. How many of you are hurting? Don't raise your hands. How many of you got problems? Don't raise your hands. How many of you are sad about something? Don't raise your hand. But we all have issues. Amen. Can we agree on that? We all have things that are breaking our heart. But one of these days, when we leave this life, and we enter into the glory of heaven, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Now, I do realize you say, Brother Doug, that's at the end of the age. I realize that. That's at the end of the age, okay? But that's just as, it's still real. It's still going to happen, right? I mean, this is what we have to look forward to. Can you imagine not having a worry? Now, how many of us worry? Now, you can raise your hand on that one. Okay? We all worry, don't we? But can you imagine opening your eyes in heaven and everything about you feels good? There is no pain. There is no suffering. There is no cancer. There is no heartache. There is no arthritis. What a day that will be. What a day. There should be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." How many of you like new things? You like new stuff? Oh, come on. You like new stuff? Absolutely. New stuff. We get new vehicles. We like the new car smell. We get a new motorcycle. Get new golf clubs. New homes. But the only thing about it is after a little while it's not new anymore. But do you realize when you get to heaven it'll always be new? Isn't that cool? That you'll always have that feeling of standing in awe and just being able to say, "Wow, God, you're a glorious God." You see, I want you to today, and as we go into the new year, I want you to focus. This life is not all there is. You know, right now our county's in a little bit of an uproar, you know, and it's real easy to get excited about the direction that with the gambling thing, that the direction that is taken, and I'm not going to spend time on that because I'll get irritated, and I don't want to get irritated and preach. Forgive me. I'm human. But I do want to have a special prayer about that later on. Beloved, I want you to see the glory. Don't focus on the sin. Don't focus on the problems. Focus on the glory. That's the first step to growing. When you've got something to look forward to and we move on. Second thing, the supplication for the church that Paul was making for that church at Colossae, or the prayer that Paul was making for that church at Colossae. He said, and look at this, this is where it gets really good. Verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." For what? "To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul's prayer was that they be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. That word "filled," it means to make literally full, so there's no room for anything else. The word "knowledge" literally means to come in clear and complete understanding of God. And the idea is that you may literally and intimately know who God is and His desire for you in your life. That's the part that most people don't get. That they don't understand. Do you realize there's more to your relationship with God than just missing hell? Do you know that? Listen, missing hell is a wonderful thing. But I want to know God beyond missing hell. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about that intimate relationship where God is more than just attending church, or He's more than just reading a certain number of verses in the Bible every day. It's intimate. It's knowing and understanding what God's desire is for you and your life. It's understanding what pleases God and what displeases God. Such knowledge only comes by spending time with God and talking to Him. It's much like being married. The longer you're married, the more you know your spouse, right? The longer you're married, the more you know your spouse. You begin to know what they like and what they dislike. And hopefully you begin to live on the side of the likes, right? Because it's just much easier that way. But there's a problem that occurs in marriage. And that problem is the longer we're married, the less we tend to talk. Am I right? The longer, you know, it's like, okay, I pretty much know everything about her now. I don't need to talk to her anymore. And that's wrong. Because you miss out. You don't really know your spouse that well. So what do we have to do? We have to cultivate that relationship even when we're married 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. We have to keep cultivating that relationship. Same with God. Listen, friends, there are so many people that are just satisfied to go to church and they've done their duty. I'm asking you, don't settle for that anymore. In the new year, have that desire to seek God and to desire to know God and to spend time with God and to get into the Word and to pray and just talk to God. Don't settle. But seek that you may be filled with knowledge and also wisdom. There in the last part he said, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know what wisdom is, right? Wisdom is the ability to apply what you know. So if you know it, then that means you can take it and you can put it into practice. I do not want a surgeon that has graduated first in his class if he's doing surgery on me. I want a surgeon that has done this operation before, right? I want a surgeon that has applied what he gained in class and put it into practice. You see? That's the idea with what we get from the Word of God. Oh, listen, friends. We're talking about building a life that's worth living. That as you grow in knowledge and you begin to apply, you begin to know what God likes and what He dislikes, and you begin to apply it. First Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I love this verse. It's a great marriage verse. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them according to understanding. The them that is talking about there, speaking of your wife. Husbands, dwell with your wife according to understanding. What is it saying? It's saying, husband, you know how she is. Now you take what you know and apply it to your relationship with her, and your life will be much, much better. Right? Same with God. Same thing with God. You take what you learn and what you know about God and you begin to apply it. That's wisdom. and you wind up walking, pleasing, that you may walk worthy of God. Do you know why people don't walk that Christian walk anymore? I remember when I was a kid, there were just some things you don't do. You remember that? There's something you not only did you not do, you didn't even talk about certain things. And now, not only do people do those immoral, ungodly things, they broadcast it from the mountaintop. You know? Why do people live in conflict with God? One of two reasons. Reason number one, they don't know God. There are believers, my friends, who do not know God. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. They've asked Him to save him. And that's all there is to their spiritual walk. You don't know God. You don't know Him. Are they saved? Yes, probably. But they don't know God. Brother Doug, how can you make that accusation? Because when you know someone, it alters the way you live. Okay? It alters the way you live. For example, in society today, there are churches that are doing things that I think, how do you do that? It's in direct conflict with God's Word. You know, and this is supposed to be our foundation. If God's Word says it, I don't have to have an opinion. God said it. That's good enough, right? That's it. But yet, there are churches and examples. What I'm about to say is so politically incorrect that it might shock some. But listen, I want you to understand. I'm not trying to be politically correct. I'm trying to be godly correct, okay? See, there are churches today that are doing things that completely throw the Bible out.
what the Bible says. For example, women pastors. Church as well. Brother Doug, be careful. No, I don't have to be careful. You know what the Word says about women pastors? It says no. Okay? That's what it says. Listen, I don't have a thing against women. I love women. I married one. I want to spend the rest of my life with that one, you know. But the Word of God says in 1 Timothy 2:12, Paul said, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Wow. Well, Brother Doug, that is ancient, that's old, and that doesn't apply anymore. That's what the Word of God says. And that's good enough. Okay? If God says it, it doesn't matter if I like it, dislike it, agree with it, disagree with it. God said it. End of conversation. You see, that is taking God's Word and say, okay, God, that's pleasing to God, so that's what I'm going to apply. That's not pleasing to God, so I'm not going to go that direction. And churches today need to stop being politically correct and start being biblically correct. If the Word of God says it, that has to be what we preach and what we practice. You see, to do anything else is not to know God. And there are a lot of people in the world that if they heard me say what I just said to you and then read that passage of Scripture, you know what they'd say? I didn't know that was in there. A lot of preachers are going to have something to answer for. They either don't know God or they don't care about God. That's the second reason. Second reason why people live in conflict with God. They don't care. They don't care what God wants. They don't care what God says. For example, why would you live with a woman outside of marriage? Or I'm looking at the male perspective, okay? But why would a man live with a woman outside of marriage? Well, Brother Doug, I don't see anything wrong with it. Read the Bible. It's called fornication. Okay? The Bible says no. But God did create a way for a man and woman to have a wonderful relationship in marriage. He said, well, Brother Doug, I don't want all that commitment. Listen, ladies and young ladies, don't let a guy get away with that. Say, I don't want that kind of commitment, but I want to shack up. I was saying, no. 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 See, that's in direct conflict with the Word of God. Homosexuality. People don't understand, you know, well, the church is just against homosexuals. No, we're not. No, we're not. You see, the stand of the church is we're against sin. Homosexuality is a sin, Romans chapter 1. Do you know what? Sex outside of marriage is a sin too. We're against that too. You know what else? Idolatry is a sin too. We're against that too. You know what else? And we can go down the list. You see, we've got to decide where we stand with God. We either don't know God or we don't care. Beloved, we've got to care what God thinks. We've got to care what God thinks. Paul prayed for their knowledge and for their wisdom. Then finally, let's look at the satisfaction of the church at Corinth. Paul brought them through all that. And he said in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. That doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes, that you don't fall and make some bad choices sometimes or say things that you shouldn't say. No, that's not what it means. Walking worthy means that you're applying what you know in all wisdom to your life. And you know what that does? It brings fruit. It causes you to be fruitful.
You cannot know God and apply the truths of God's Word and not be fruitful. I love to look at what God's done in this church in the last year. In the last 5 years. God's good. But you want to know why victory is growing? It's because there's a lot of people here who are not settling for church as usual. They want to grow in their faith. They want to love even when it's hard. And they know that this life is not all there is. And so they're seeking God and desiring God and prayer and study and taking what they know and applying it to life. And you can't do all that and not be fruitful. Paul also said, strengthen, verse 11, and strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. See, Paul was still praying that they'd be fruitful, that they'd be strengthened with all might. And I think this is very important because today, you know what people need? We need to learn how to see things through. We quit way too easy. That gets hard. Satan attacks and, you know, I didn't sign up for this. Listen, this Christian thing is not for sissies. Okay? It gets tough sometimes. You get hurt sometimes. You get your hands dirty sometimes because, you know, we're dealing with people and it's hard. But listen, you keep on keeping on. You don't back up. You don't quit. You keep pressing forward. Has God got a new plan for your life? You know, new ministry opportunity for your life? Wonderful. But don't you quit. Don't you quit. That's my prayer for the folks at Victory this year. That you'll be willing to step out on faith and do things you've never done before. What are those things? I'm going to let God fill in that blank in your life. But let me ask you this. What are you doing that you've never done before? What's your plan for the year? How are you going to improve? Don't you want to improve in your relationship with God? Would you say amen? What are you planning to do to pursue that? Huh? Is it read through the Bible? That's a big deal. Is it witness for the first time? That's a big deal. Listen, step out of that comfort zone with all patience and long-suffering, with joy. I like that part. With joy. That you keep pressing forward, that you be stronger than you've ever been, that you produce more fruit than you've ever produced, and you don't quit no matter what. And guess what the result is? With all joy. There's nothing more joyous than to watch somebody come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's nothing more joyous than to watch God work in the lives of other people and in your life. You see, when fruit's being produced in, it is a spiritual joy that can be gained and nowhere else. You know, one of the greatest for a pastor is to see the membership doing things they've never done before. And I'm talking in a positive way, okay? Positive things. I'm going to visit like I've never visited before. I'm going to study like I've never studied before. I'm going to teach that class for the first time in my life. I'm going to teach that class. Yeah? How do you do more? You take the first step. Take the first step. Yeah? If you're going to, if you think, well, God may want me to teach. All right? You know how to do that? You teach your first class. Okay? You teach your first class. Oh, Brother Doug, I don't know, that scares me to death. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful to be scared. No, be willing to do things. To be used of God. Like you've never been used before. That's my prayer for us in the coming year. You see, every day is an opportunity. Every day. And there are opportunities that make you uncomfortable, but there's still opportunities. There are opportunities that discourage you. It's still an opportunity.
challenge. Don't settle. In 2019, do not settle. I truly believe that God has great things in store for His people. But listen, you won't see those great things if you continue to do the same things you've done in the past. You know what I mean? And what I'm talking about is just be satisfied. Brother Doug, I come to church. Good. What more are you doing? What more do you plan on doing? Don't be satisfied. You may be here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Take one moment, okay? You can be as religious as you want to be. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you're not saved. Okay? And you do not have a relationship with Him. So let me tell you, Jesus Christ loved you so much that He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. All right? And He's offered that as a gift of salvation. You want to do more than you've ever done, it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It starts by calling upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? If you have, then it's time to take the next step. Have you been scripturally baptized? Have you been made your public identification for Christ? If you've not done that, that's your next step. If you have, if you've been saved and you've been baptized, are you a church member? If you haven't done that, that's the next step. If you're a church member, okay, I've done all three of those, Brother Doug. Are you serving? What's your ministry? God has a ministry for everybody. Okay? If you're not serving, okay, it's time to look and find that ministry and take that step. That's the next step. He said, Brother Doug, I'm serving. Okay, what are you doing to improve your serving? Right? What are you doing to improve? Well, you don't understand, Brother Doug. I do all this stuff, but what are you doing to improve the quality of your service? He said, we all have that responsibility. Don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied where you are. There's more. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word and for the challenge that this message has given me to not be satisfied where I am in my walk with You. But rather, Lord, that I have a desire and a passion to know You more intimately, to serve You more faithfully, to honor You, Lord. I pray that will be the desire of this church, that we may grow as never before, that we be a body of believers that are on fire, who desires that close walk with You. Father, we love You, and we pray that Your will be done. In Jesus' name.